Ignorant, we gon' bring that racket like it's Wimbledon. Discipline, but yet you find anyone equivalent. Ain't no podcast similar, now you won't find no synonyms. Be produced by Q Smith, sound like it's by Timbaland. JBB in charge, EG set the bar. Coop be sipping water tree, and Turk gon' lay the law. Jokes may go too far,
it was but good, that's just who we gentlemen. Are. We prolific, are
so gifted. Words that had your soul lifted. So consistent, yet so different. Ain't nobody copy that lane. Carry that torch, heat up the game. Ain't nobody got that flame. Different, different. Man, this intro different. Man, this intro ignorant. God
damn. What is happening, everybody? It's good to be back. In the words of a wise man by the name of Mace, welcome back. You know, we are back and we're better. And it is almost the most wonderful time of year. August, it's fall, you know, it's starting to cool off unless you're in Texas. And we're here. Shout out to us for making it this far.
I'm glad you threw that last part in there because, you know, I was like, fall what? What's right. Falling? It ain't these temperatures.
It ain't these rent prices. I was about to say, the only thing falling at this point is
my own humanity.
Right.
I don't have a whole lot of hope left, ladies and gentlemen, but I have a whole bunch of ignorance left because I just came back from this year's 2023 version of the National Association of Black Journalists National Conference. Your boy was moderating a panel, and I can say that it was extremely ignorant, and I got to do something that I've wanted to do my whole life. Captain Scully, you know what I'm talking about?
Can I get two claps for the Ric Flair?
Woo! I've always wanted to do that in front of a crowd, and that gave me an excuse just to do it.
Speaking of which, I was thinking about something the other day. It would be really... I need a wrestler... WWE, I was thinking about it, and theme music and stuff. I need one wrestler who's from Washington, D.C., to come out to the Go-Go song, Start Up the Train. That would be the most amazing crowd reaction. Just imagine, hey, wild boy, we're going to start up the train. And it's like, yo, that would get the crowd going crazy. Like the same way you hear like the John Cena, like the same way you hear that, or the same, if you smell, like, it would be the same type of pop like that. Or like when you hear the glass break for Steve Austin. It could be that kind of crowd pop. But anyway, back to the task.
They got to do it in D.C. though. That's the only way to do it.
Right. Or Maryland. Like if they... Well, probably not in Baltimore. Probably wouldn't get the same reaction. But
We know what you mean.
I wish I could be that guy. I would come out with that song.
I understand. But since we are now back to reality, back to life, you know what we're talking about.
While we're on the subject of wrestling and chairs.
I have said this many a times. Captain Scully has said this many a times. Many people who have been on this show for the number of years that we've been running it have said this a million times. And it still remains true. The internet is undefeated. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about the one, the only, the fade in the water that happened in Montgomery, Alabama over the last few days.
It's hilarious to think that y'all were maybe 40, 45 minutes away from a battle royale of epic proportions.
I know, man. Sometimes the universe says you don't need to be ignorant at this very moment. But damn it, I wish I was.
Your ignorant sense was tingling. You just like, you probably sitting in a party or something. Just like, you just looked up like, there's an imbalance.
I sense an ignorant imbalance in the force. How does one feel that? Because I start hearing finito in my head, and I'm not thinking about finito. Somewhere out there, there's a gorilla in a coop. And when he starts dinging in my head, my ignorant senses start tingling. But Captain Scully, would you like to explain to the people what exactly this fade in the water was?
All right. The fade in the water, Bloody Saturday, as they call it,
you know, a chair is still a chair. Any iteration of the name. Basically, in the city of Montgomery, Alabama, at a riverfront, I forgot the name of the specific riverfront, but there was a riverfront where there were, you know, some boat, like riverboat things. Like for those who know, like those boats with the big wheels that turn, you know, and they were trying to pull into a pier, but it was just some group of white folks that I guess were plastered, and they had their little private boat blocking the pier where this boat was supposed to pull in. And the man who has now been identified as the co-captain, he was originally, people were calling him a security guard, but now apparently we've learned now that he's the co-captain of the boat, told these people that y'all have to move because this pier is trying to, or this boat is trying to pull in. And he was probably about 40. They were, you know, on the way. And, you know, as white folks tend to do, they got offended that they couldn't just do whatever the hell they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
They started caroling, but like times 10. So all, I don't even know how many people it was. I think it was like 4 or 5 white folks on this boat got out of this boat and proceeded to attack this co-captain who was African-American, jumping this man. I mean, like straight up, just fight back, nigga. Fight back. It was bad. Nobody was, everybody was for the most part standing around. Just there were people recording and standing around. But then you just started seeing in the corner of the videos, like there was two dudes who run down from whatever ramp or something. Two dudes that just hop out of nowhere. Then the funniest part to me, and the part that just really set the whole thing off, when these two black gentlemen, or it was two black men, come and try to help this guy. Then you just see in the corner of your eye, you see what we thought was maybe a shark, a dolphin, maybe a fish, something in the water is coming their direction. And you think, hey, you know, the dolphin is coming or whatever. No. A nigga jumped off the boat and started swimming towards the action. The first man in Negro history to swim to a fight. You know, you run to the action, people like come at it. I ain't never seen a man hop clear, and the other angle is what makes it even more impressive. He hops off the boat, swims over. Do you know how much energy it takes to swim over, get out, still be ready for action,
and still want to throw a 12-piece combo with a biscuit?
This is the funniest thing I've seen since the man that drove 2 hours to whoop somebody's ass over a Kobe Bryant argument. Like, this is right up in there in terms of just niggatry, powerful niggatry at work.
This was the most powerful niggatry I've heard.
In a while, niggas do not swim.
We don't. Before we continue with the story, allow me to preface this. Black people, my people of African descent, my people of the African diaspora. Can we learn how to swim now? Can we get into the pool at pool parties now? Can we stop acting like, man, it's 100 degrees out here. I wish there was something to cool me down. Pool 5 feet in front of you. Can we start doing this? Because now we got to be prepared.
You got to be prepared. You never know. Shit could pop off at any moment and you going to have to swim.
Any second. But continue.
So he swims. So yeah, okay. So this guy swim, whatever. But it keeps getting better because then the boat does eventually pull in because, I mean, somehow the boat or whatever. And people say, then more people start coming, like more African Americans. First of all, I'm gonna tell y'all now, the white folks who are not familiar, who live in places like Iowa where you don't interact with black people a lot, when 3 African American men are coming at you and one start pulling and they start pulling pants up, just run. Just, you are in danger. You are in trouble. Run the other direction. There's nothing good that can come of this. It was about 3 or 4 of them. Just start pulling up, and they own this boat because these people eventually start, I don't know why, but eventually they try to start retreating when they see more people coming because they're punks, they're cowards. They get on the boat and just start throwing hands. I mean, like, bro, it's just mayhem, just going everywhere. But the real hero, besides the man that was swimming, the real hero of the whole fight was OG with the chair. This man was straight stone cold with it. Just, like, the only thing missing was the beer glass drop. Like, yo, this man came in and just started laying down the law with this folding chair. Like,
with a white church folding chair.
And was just beating the snot out this white woman with this folding chair, bruh.
But all I'm going to tell y'all
this is
why the Boondocks needs to be studied for college courses. Because never forget, the Boondocks was the first people to say, if you want to start a riot, all you got to do is throw a chair. You ain't got to hit nobody. You just got to throw
it. That's the other thing. See, most of the time, people credit The Simpsons for predicting shit. Boondocks, this was an entirely African-American production here. Boondocks predicted this with the chair throwing. You got this. Apparently, the pier that this happened in used to be a former, like, slave drop-off location place, we found out. And then the most amazing fact that we learned out of all of this, do you know who invented the folding chair?
No.
A black man.
You know
what? I believe his name was, hold on, let me look this up, because I've been seeing this float around. Who invented the black chair? The folding chair was invented by an African-American man. And that's what made this even funnier. His name, and I'm going to give you the name, Nathaniel Alexander, on July 7th, 1911, from Lynchburg, Virginia, patented the folding chair.
Ain't it ironic a black man was from Lynchburg, Virginia, and invented a folding chair?
He knew. He saw it down the line. He knew it. He designed this chair to be used in schools, churches, and other auditoriums. I guess this falls under other auditoriums.
It definitely falls under other auditoriums. And you know what? I know
he's smiling down.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why we say Black history is in more than just February. More than just February. Mainly because you can't make this stuff up.
You cannot make this up.
A Tubi movie could not have done this any better.
Tyler Perry could not have done this. Nobody. Steven Spielberg. Ice Cube couldn't have come up with this movie.
Ice Cube couldn't have done this. Smokey Friday could not have participated in a better, just pure act of niggotry. And you know what? We usually say niggotry in a negative connotation. What? Nothing negative about this.
Nothing negative about this. This was a powerful showing of solidarity, of sticking togetherness, of fucking around and finding out. Like, it was just all beautiful. I just was smiling from ear to ear. Usually I'm not confrontational. I avoid confrontation. I'm not one that likes to watch fighting videos. But every angle of this gets funnier and funnier. Every time a new video comes out, it just gets funnier.
And that's not to mention all of the TikToks, all of the memes, all of the extra videos that have just come from it.
It just keeps getting better. It's just like, bro, the breakdowns, like,
our people, like everybody else on the planet, that we have some negatives to us. We do this and that, and we should do this and that. One thing that I can guarantee that we do that nobody else on the planet does better, we don't take nothing serious.
We will turn a traumatic situation into just... Because it's like, bro, remember Nigger Navy?
Yep.
Remember World War III when everybody thought, you know, when he hit like a missile on Iran and everybody thought World War III was coming. I'm like, bro, the number of just moments that should have been high pressure, high intensity, and just some of the funniest moments on the internet were coming out of it. And also, we do have to acknowledge the fact that this could have been gone a whole lot of a different direction if the people hadn't intervened. This would not have been a laughing matter.
No, had people not helped out a man physically getting jumped
by six white men,
this would be like a problem. But you know what? That's what makes it even more amazing, all jokes aside, is how often do you see someone get jumped and people come help?
Right. Especially like, the six white men or five white people. I don't know if they were all men or not, but like, it was just funny. And now there's a warrant for all five of their arrests, the white folks that jumped the co-captain. And I hope somebody raises money for OG with the chair, though. Like, I really hope that we can get a GoFundMe or something set up for this dude, because he was out here just
here playing superhero.
The only thing that is disappointing to me, out of all the memes I've seen, I have yet to see one with Jim Ross commentary on it.
Like, watch I'm just waiting. Watch out!
Stone Cold! Actually, except for the one I did show you. I did show you that one. that one was funny. But like, I'm just waiting for the, oh God Almighty, don't slam him to hell. Like, I'm just waiting for it. It's just, oh man, that was hilarious.
And ladies and gentlemen, before we end this segment, allow me to say on a more serious note, this is what happens when you can come together for a common goal. Sometimes that common goal may be a little ignorant. It may be to whoop somebody's ass. But the common goal is where great power and great responsibility are found.
And on another serious note as well, to put it more bluntly, the more you fuck around,
the more
you're going to find out.
Yes, I
did. They definitely fucked around and found out.
And they found out. But on some more fuck around and find out, I'm finding out that football is bike, baby. Yes, sir. We are heading into the NFL preseason. If your team is having some injuries, I feel for you, but fuck you. I'm a Chargers fan. No one has it worse than me when it comes to injuries. You can check your record books.
I'm gonna just tell you right now. Washington, I understand that there is supposed to be the dawn of a new era, but you still got to weed out some bad shit. It's been 24 years of foolishness. And already these niggas is pissing me off starting. How do you already? You got players complaining about the intensity of Eric Bieniemy's practices. We ain't even hit a preseason game yet, and y'all already pissing me off, bro. Like, what is this? Are y'all that used to being average? Y'all are average and pedestrian, been average and pedestrian for 24 years. 24 years. Y'all haven't won 11 games in a season since 1991. And this is including three seasons now with a 17th game added. And y'all ain't won 11 games yet in 24 years. But anyway, before I get on a rant, they piss me off already.
We love a good rant around here. But Since football is here, football is coming, but it's not just the NFL. College football is almost here. And for some of you out here like me and Scully, who have a certain amount of love for the lower levels, high school football is here. Captain Scully, you know, if only there was someone who wrote a book or something about the local football scene of the DMV area.
Shoot, if only I knew somebody who did that. Oh, wait. I know somebody who did that.
Who?
It was me. You know, I wrote one back in 2020 during the pandemic when everybody was sitting inside jumping on stack crates and stuff. I was writing books. So PG versus MoCo, which, you know, it's got a couple stories. It doesn't cover the whole history of the DMV. It's just got a couple of the past decade worth of stories, the ones that I was part of. But I covered a lot of people, or at least in the public school scene. So PG versus MoCo is the book's name for anybody that's interested.
Just throwing that out there. But while we're talking about that, I have to ask you, Captain Scully, since it's an important part of who you are, your history, and who your fandom is at the moment, we're going to talk about who is your best/favorite high school, college, and your favorite current NFL player. Let's start off with college. One of your favorite college players ever.
Man, you got to go back, man, because we've been watching college football for a while. Like, the fact that I've seen the entirety of Dak Prescott's career is crazy. It's not him, though, but I'm just saying. We've seen a lot in our 10 or 11 or whatever number of years of watching. So I would say one of my favorite, one of my favorite college players, because I have a few, but one of my favorites, it would have to be, who is up there? It would have to be, no, I'm not going to say him. That's too controversial right now. Oh, I got you. Jadeveon Clowney in college was DeAnthony Thomas, Oregon. Niggas don't know. DeAnthony
Thomas is highlight tape.
Niggas don't know.
It rivals Tavon Austin for people who don't know.
People, they were both at the same time, which is the crazy part. Like, DeAnthony Thomas, there was a time, ladies and gentlemen, when people cared about the West Coast and college football. There was a time. Like, it's hard to believe now, but there was a time when people cared about college football on the West Coast, and not USC.
I'm talking Oregon. Oregon was running college football. Like, everybody now has a bunch of, like, all these crazy uniform combinations that all your favorite teams have now. People weren't doing that in 2010. That was Oregon.
Not until
Oregon was the originator. Oregon and Maryland, but Maryland sucks. Oregon was the originator of that.
And then let's not forget, you would think of Oregon's top reign that their biggest issue on the West Coast would be USC or UCLA or hell, Oregon State, because rivalries just work that way. Their biggest thorn in their side, Stanford. They were not fucking with Stanford.
They weren't. And nobody was either. USC wasn't either. Utah, none of them niggas were. None of them were. Oregon and Stanford ran the Pac-12 in the 2010s. I know that sounds crazy, but yes. It's like,
it makes no sense now, but if right. you watched, you were like, Oregon has no answer for these smart big motherfuckers at Stanford. They have no answer to this run game. They slow the game down. DeAnthony Thomas has to actually be disciplined and can't just run around everywhere. Nah. Stanford's like, we ain't having that. We too smart for that.
But even with that, I still remember he had a 91-yard touchdown run in the Rose Bowl against the Russell Wilson Wisconsin Badgers, one of my favorite plays in college football history. And then he had one of the, I mean, when you want to just talk about just a man that was just fast, like just ridiculously fast for no reason, like Olympic level speed. But go watch Kansas State, Oregon in the Fiesta Bowl.
Now, that Russell Wilson Wisconsin team against DeAnthony Thomas, was that the debut of the chrome helmets?
It absolutely was. Yeah,
that I remember exactly where I was when I was watching that game. I was at a Pluckers, which is a wing TV bar here in the South. I was at a Pluckers and I was looking at the glare coming in from the Coliseum. I was like, man, they helmets damn near look gold. I'm like, nah, that's just that chrome.
And Oregon is different because they had the chrome helmets. Then they brought the candy apple green uniforms that Marcus Mariota and them wore against Florida State. My favorite college football uniforms of all time.
You see, I'm not a fan of the candy apple red. It kind of...
No, candy apple green. Candy apple.
No, green. I know what you mean. Candy apple green. I'm
or not Granny Smith apple. Not candy apple. Granny
it's kind of... It kind of looks like puke to me. I'm not a fan. But my favorite Oregon uniforms got to be the Stormtroopers.
Oh, yeah. 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 They just got so badly burnt by Ohio State in that game.
They did. But that was just Ohio State has a better era.
Yeah. Yeah.
But okay. Moving on. My favorite collegiate player. Who? You know, I'm not going to be cliche and, you know, Vince Young because I could say that. I was
also shout out to Michael James. Oregon had all the running backs, but yeah.
I was a big Colt Brennan fan at Hawaii. RIP to Colt Brennan.
RIP to Colt Brennan. Dude was a beast. Colt Brennan really was cool, bro.
Let's see. I loved Eric Berry, but I don't think I really started liking Eric Berry till he was a Chief.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know why I'm second guessing it. The answer is Reggie Bush. He is one of the main reasons I started wearing number 5. He is the main reason running backs started jumping over people. He's the reason these stupid ass cutbacks that people just decided we could do one day. It was Reggie Bush. Why are we bullshitting here?
There is only one answer when you talk about, actually, no, there are a couple answers when you talk about greatest college football players of all time. But Reggie Bush is definitely one of them. It's always Reggie Bush, Tim Tebow, Matt Leinart. Those are always in the conversation.
But if Reggie Bush is not in your top 10, you are wrong.
You are smoking crack. Like the NCAA is.
The NCAA is on a bunch of shit right now. But we're going to move on.
Give that man his Heisman back.
Captain Scully, your favorite current NFL player who does not play for your franchise, which we don't have to get into that.
Right. Okay. Well, with that being said, favorite current NFL player that doesn't. Well, I don't like any of the niggas that play for my team. So there's that, you know, fuck them.
Exactly.
Except Terry, whatever. But I root for a lot of the Maryland guys. So there's that. But I feel like one of my favorites right now is it's definitely like Lamar is up there. You know, Lamar Jackson.
Absolutely.
Is one of my favorites. And we've been watching him since Louisville. Like, dude, it's like, bro, like, dog, his trajectory is crazy. I'm gonna go with Lamar on this one. I'm gonna go with Lamar Jackson because he's cold. Dude is cold. You know, as long as he can stay healthy, that dude is gonna be. I actually got them. I don't know if we're doing predictions on this show yet, but I got big plans ahead for the Ravens this year.
For me, Lamar. You know, I'm trying to think if I want to go. It's hard for me because a lot of the Chargers are my favorite players because I've grown to know them as, you know, more personally.
Right. Like, when you're in their DMs giving them death threats and
hey, you know, I didn't death threat Travis Benjamin. I just let him know
you said I'll whoop your ass. Like
really, it was just I'ma whoop your ass and only one of us is in the NFL and you only got 7 more catches than me. I don't know what to tell you.
These hands work, even if yours don't.
And apparently yours do not. But I'm not here to get into it about Travis Benjamin again. Let's see. Right now, currently. I don't know. I don't think I have a running back that I'm just in love with at the moment.
Yeah, you and the rest of the NFL.
The NFL is just saying fuck the entire running back position. I don't like DK Metcalf for multiple reasons. I don't think he's that good of a player. You know what? I like one of my favorites right now is a receiver, AJ Brown. Because AJ Brown's job is get the damn thing done. AJ is not he's not the fastest. He's not the quickest, but he's a big dude, knows how to use his big body. He's going to catch the ball. He's faster than you think. And damn it, after he catches it, he's 6'1", 6'2", 230. Got to bring him down.
Right. That dude is a, you know. And you know, if we want to talk about receivers like that, George Pickens is just the epitome of Black Air Force energy for the Steelers.
Absolutely. Just the epitome of it.
I mean, since college, anybody saw that clip of him just dragging dude by the face mask and just slamming him into a wall? You know, the way he was watching himself get drafted with the shiesty mask on, like just the epitome of Black Air Force energy. And it doesn't help that you play for the Steelers.
No, that's where it's encouraged. Tom Coughlin, not Coughlin. Why do I think it's still Coughlin? Steelers coach. Why is his name
Tomlin?
Mike Tomlin, he likes that shit. Look, he put up with AB for as long as he could. I know he likes a little bit of Ignis back there. He simply has to. But now it's time for the nitty gritty. This is for something for the people who might have never heard of this guy to give him some exposure. Captain Scully. Your favorite / the best high school football player you ever saw or ever knew?
Oh, that's easy. Both the Diggs brothers.
Both of them?
Stephon and Trayvon Diggs. I saw both of them play. Steph was a little bit older than we were, but I saw him play at Good Counsel, and that kid was the truth. Like, he did everything. He played defense. He played offense. He played special teams. He was one of the best football players I've ever seen in this area, ever in life. Like, one of the best. But, like, Chase Young got good at Ohio State. I don't know if he might have been, like, solid at the math. Like, Stephon Diggs was in every newspaper. He was on the front page of Washington Post. All county team, like, just whatever award you can think of, you name it. And then he stayed home to play at Maryland, which a lot of people were happy about, which he, you know, it just didn't work out because he had linebackers throwing him the football at quarterback. dude was a beast. And then Trayvon Diggs, I actually saw him play up close because me and him were like, he was like a year younger than me or whatever. So like, I played against him in a passing league, whatever. But like, I watched him play too. And that dude, he played at public school first, then he went to like a private school. But like, he was freakish. Like, he could have been a receiver. Like, all these picks and interceptions he'd be getting, dude was an all-met receiver in high school. And he went to Alabama to play receiver initially, and then Nick Saban made him change positions. And he turned, and all he did was turn into an All-American corner. And then, you know, do what he did now. Like, both of them been it for real. And it's a lot of people don't realize the amount of talent that has come out the DMV area. I'm just talking about the ones I've seen. Because I was too young to see Joe Hayden play. I was too young to see, you know, some of them play. And Caleb was after me. Like, I didn't see him at Gonzaga.
Definitely. We're.
Actually, I did, but, like, I didn't. Like, I wasn't locked in.
We're probably 6 years older than Caleb.
Yeah, like, I heard of him, and then, like, he was, like, number one player in the country and all that stuff, but like I didn't see him play. Like, I saw Stephon Diggs and it was like, bro, I've never seen a football player like this in this area.
Different. I feel that. So let me break y'all down. Let me put you on game to one of the greatest athletes to ever touch the field in Texas high school football.
Is it did he go to Allen?
No, sir. No, oh, sir. Okay, blacker school than Allen.
Oh, okay.
Now, granted, Kyler Murray is probably the greatest player to ever play Texas high school football because the records speak for themselves. But this might have been the best guy I know for sure I ever saw with my own eyes.
Gotcha.
I was young back then. But I can tell you, this player was coached by Joey McGuire. In case you do not know Joey McGuire is now the head coach at Texas Tech. So that should show you he's been around the Lone Star State for a while. This man was the quarterback for the 2006 5A Division II state champion Cedar Hill Longhorns. This man goes by the name of William Cole. William Cole was the greatest player I'd ever seen. I think to this day in high school football, playing quarterback, that man was amazing. He was a track star out there playing quarterback, launching bombs 50, 60 yards, running away from defenses, playing against some of the best talent in the country, going against squads like DeSoto, who are consistently nationally ranked, Skyline. Right. Going up against teams that just are monsters of human beings. But them boys from Cedar Hill, they had the Superman on their chest during warmups for a reason. And when William Cole stepped on that field, there was 100% confidence he was going to walk off with a dub. There's a video out on YouTube about legendary Texas coaches talking about who they think is the greatest player in Texas high school football history. And on that list, you see coaches talking about Kyler Murray and Adrian Peterson and Earl Campbell and other legends that you know. But Joey McGuire, one of the first things he had to give credit to was that dog William Cole. So for y'all who don't know, go look up them highlights. William Cole, Cedar Hill High School, 2006. It will explain itself. And I guarantee you, when you watch them highlight tapes of some of the other guys he played against, there's 4 or 5 NFL guys on that team he just made look stupid. Stupid.
Stupid. It's different out here.
It was. But now we're done being positive right now, because we're going to be a little negative for a little bit, because what's the Ignite Show without a little negativity, Scully?
Oh, yeah. No. It wouldn't do it justice without it.
Colin Cowherd, you are a dick. You are a penis. You are a piece of shit as of now. Now, I'm not going to attack your character. I'm not going to attack your character as a whole right now, but I will say that was a dumbass thing to do, and you had time to renege. You had time to take it back. You had time to say, oops, my bad, and I'd have been like, hey, you fucked up, but I'll let it go. So for you who don't know, Colin Cowherd made a list of quarterbacks you could not win a Super Bowl with since 2013. On the guys on that list, you have guys like Jared Goff, Tua Tagovailoa, I believe Blake Bortles was on that list. RG3, I believe, was on that list. And Colin Cowherd felt the need to put Dwayne Haskins on there. And when he said it, there was a typo at the top of the screen that said quarterbacks you can. So he had time to doubled down. He had time to fix himself because he stuttered a little bit when he saw it. He noticed the mistake. He doubled down and said it again that no, it's supposed to say quarterbacks you can't win a Super Bowl with. For those of you who don't know why this is an issue, unfortunately, Dwayne Haskins is no longer with us. He passed away tragically last year. So you see where the issue is coming from.
Yeah, I mean, even just it's a number of things. I mean, first, as a Commanders fan, it you know, like it's just stupid anyway because like the man died, and you know, even if he hadn't have died, like it wouldn't have made sense to put him on the list anyway because he wasn't even really a true starter. Like if that made like dude had one full year as a starter in the NFL. It didn't even make sense to put his name on the list. Like RG3 was different because at least like he had one of the highest of highs. You know, Jared Goff went to a Super Bowl and obviously lost it. And that's why he's in Detroit now. Tua speaks for itself. Dwayne Haskins just optically speaking and logically speaking just didn't make sense. That would be like saying, Geno Smith, like, brother, that's like 8 of his 9 years. Like, it didn't even make sense to put his name on the list. Or, like, Jacoby Brissett. Like, it would be equivalent to saying that in my eyes.
Yes, and that's the dumb part about it is, like, how can you, even if he was still with us, how could you realistically put a man with that small a sample size on that list? Like, yeah, we can say his career didn't pan out the way we thought it would, or he wasn't as good as advertised or whatever. But in 3 years, you can't say a guy can't win you this, can't win you that. If he hasn't played significantly, like guys who have played 3 years up to this point, I think we can all realistically say, hey, I don't think Mac Jones is the answer. Or we can say, hey, I don't think Ryan Tannehill is the answer, even though he's been in the league for a little bit.
Like, but Tannehill is another one that would have made sense. If he'd have said Ryan Tannehill,
like, I believe, made sense. I think Tannehill might have been on the list, but like that's like saying Malik Willis.
But that's the point, yeah.
Yeah, like Malik Willis, did he play great last year? No. Is it still way too early to write him off? Absolutely. And he plays in Tennessee without A.J. Brown. So, Right. Basically, Colin Cowherd, you are a dick for saying this. I'm not going to say it was racially motivated at this point, simply because, A, there's just not that many black quarterbacks to go around for me to be spitting that out right now.
I just think, you know, it's part of what sports radio and sports commentating has become now. Like, everybody got to say the craziest thing possible in order to get clicks and reaction. Like it's the whole debate format, like all of this shit is the same. It's like, yo, what can I say that will get people talking, that'll get the most views and clicks? Cause all publicity is good publicity, whether it's hate mail, hate watching, like it's all about getting reactions, and that's what it's all become. Even if you do it by accident, it still just happens to pop off. Like, that wasn't an accident in this case. But, like, yeah, that's what sports journalism is now. Or sports television, that is. Because the journalism is actually still pretty good.
Unfortunately, that is true. And, Colin, all I'm going to say is you got 24 hours. You got 24 hours. If you go on Fox tomorrow and say, hey, my bad. I did not understand where I was coming from. I done fucked up. I accept apologies when you admit you fucked up. I accept that.
And that's it. People can't admit they were wrong either. He'll just find a way to kind of walk around it, or maybe not even address it at all.
Because you should know what you did was wrong. So, with that being said, That's not the most bullshit thing that has happened over the last, what would you say, 72 hours?
It's been quite the weekend.
Would you like to tell the people what exactly we're talking about?
Well, I'm going to tell you. College football is in a very, very weird predicament right now. Basically, we watched a Power 5 conference literally die in a matter of weeks. Days.
Honestly, like a weekend.
A weekend. Not even a weekend. Like a day. In like a full business day, we watched the Pac-12 become the Pac-4.
The Pac-4.
And it's not even the best four. It's like, bro, if the Pac-4 literally is just all the smart schools. It's Oregon State, Stanford, Cal, and can't even remember who the last one is.
Who is it? Both Arizona schools are gone. Utah's gone. Are we missing someone?
Man, I gotta go back and look. The fact that we don't know is sad. You see how sad this is?
Hell, we gotta check who's in the Pac-12.
It is. And the magic number is, and this is the magic number. It is.
Did Washington State leave with Washington?
They did not. So Washington State is the, I believe Washington State is the last one.
Yeah, it's Stanford, Cal, Oregon State, Washington State.
Okay, so two smart schools, and then Oregon State's up there too, and Washington State.
It still doesn't change the fact, in a matter of days, hours, they said, look, the Pac-12. Have you realized this has not happened in our lifetime? The last time something this drastic happened was that when Arkansas left the Southwest Conference and joined the SEC.
Or when freaking Missouri and Texas A&M both joined the SEC, left the Big 12.
Yeah, but that didn't destroy the Big 12.
And even the Big 12 saw a lot of movement in a different direction. They added eight schools, even while losing Texas and Oklahoma.
The Big 12 is now the Big 14, 16?
I don't even know, but they...
They've added BYU, Utah, both Arizona schools, Cincy.
I'm trying to think if San Diego State. No, Colorado. That's the other
one. Colorado. Yeah, and I would like to say this for all the people who listen, all 12 of you. fuck Colorado. Not for Deion or anything that he's done, because it's not that. Nah, y'all was begging to leave a decade and a half ago. After VY put 70 on your asses in the Big 12 championship. Nah. Don't crawl back now. You see Nebraska not talking shit. Nebraska ain't got nothing to say since they left the Big 12. Stay your ass over there. But yeah, we let Colorado
and back. Then it's not even just them. You look at the ACC. They trying to, Clemson and Florida State and Miami are all trying to leave the ACC. You know, it's a lot of bullshit going on, because the name of the game now is TV revenue. TV revenue is where the money is made. Big Ten and the SEC have the two biggest deals because they're the two most powerful conferences. It's just really getting ridiculous now. And it's like, bro, it's going to be two mega conferences, probably maybe even three, because Big 12 look like they're trying to stick around. It's like, it's crazy. But, you know, it's the love of money is the root of all evil, bro. Like, that's really what this is about. Like, money... These people who don't care nothing about tradition and none of that stuff that makes college football great are just coming in here and just like drawing a big red pen through everything, all in the name of TV revenue. And it's sad.
Which is crazy how far we've come. Because when you realize what conferences were originally built for, they were just there to add some stability. To be like, hey, your school is pretty close to my school. We should play each other instead of you making your schedule and making it hard for you to do this and that. And yeah, sometimes you got to go across the country. How about we just play everyone who's within, you know, 70 miles of us?
And that's the thing. The SEC, at least their changes make sense. Like, mm-hmm. adding Texas and Oklahoma, regionally speaking, makes sense. You know, if Clemson were to, because there was talks about Clemson trying to get in the SEC, that would make sense because it's literally in the Carolinas. Like, you know,
I mean, if South Carolina can be in the SEC, so can Clemson.
Right. And they're rivals. They play each other every year anyway. You know, but part of it is like, yo, on one hand, this is kind of sort of what people have been asking for, because it's like the issue people had in college football is that the best teams didn't play each other until like the postseason. So like Alabama and or like Michigan and USC would not play each other up until recently, until the playoff. And then everybody started kind of sort of beefing it up. But they wouldn't play each other until like the Rose Bowl, you know, like it would be and Alabama and now Georgia doing it as well. But Alabama for years, people like soft ass schedules. Like, why are you playing Chattanooga in week 16 or not 16, but like in week 8? Why are you playing Chattanooga?
Oh, the SEC schedule is so hard. You don't need to play tough out of conference games. And then bowl season comes around and you get your asses smacked by other teams. Right. I don't want to hear it.
Alabama, so, Michigan and Ohio State are killing themselves playing each other in week 8. And meanwhile, Alabama's just taking the week off playing a soft preseason game against East Tennessee.
Oh, like, Texas and OU play each other week 5, week 6. Somewhere around there.
And Georgia's over there playing Citadel. Like Citadel. Right. And then, on that hand, it makes sense.
Taking Citadel so lightly that they actually putting up a fight for the first half.
Right. Nick Saban's still pissed off about I forgot what school it was that they played that just was running that rock down their throats. But it was still somewhat of a blow. I think it was Holy Cross. Yep.
I think it was one of them borderline Ivies that's still smart as hell, but not technically an Ivy.
But it's like the point is like the big argument was that those teams didn't play each other. Now they're in the conference. And the stupid thing that I think is going to ultimately happen, which somebody predicted, somebody pitched this as an idea of what should happen. And I'm like, basically, somebody was like, what they think is probably going to happen is they're going to split, even though they're getting rid of conferences or getting rid of divisions, they're going to split into half. So you're going to have like the big Pac-10, which is all the West Coast Big Ten schools that are all just going to play each other. And the East Coast ones are all going to play each other. And then they would just meet in the Big Ten title. And I'm like, that would literally just be what is already here, except you're under the umbrella of the Big Ten now. Like, it would just be like, yo. Now it's just stupid stuff. Like, why is UCLA and USC got to fly across country to play Rutgers in Maryland? Now,
I'm glad that you brought that up, because here on the D188 University podcast, we speak for the little guy. We speak for the person who doesn't necessarily get all the attention, because we are the little guy on this show. We know football going to be all right. Football has all the money in the world. They have all the resources. Like, even though clearly, Not to poke fun at Captain Scully's home state, Maryland will never come close to the resources and money that USC has. That's not a shot. That's just a college football fact.
Forget college football. That's a school fact. Like the alumni that USC has access to, with all due respect to the University of Maryland. You know, Kevin Plank, the Under Armour CEO, I mean, he'd be looking out for the team and stuff. So, like, I get that part. But, like, yo, USC be having, like, half of Hollywood, you know, Will Ferrell, you know, LeBron James now. You know, the Obamas. Like,
but we're not here to talk about the football program. I'm talking about softball, rowing, horse riding. Like, the softball team plays twice a week. Bro, what UCLA look like? Bro, we gotta fly to Rutgers, and I know ain't no direct flights to Rutgers, so you gotta fly to wherever fucking airport is closest, maybe 2 to 3 hours, and you gotta drive to Rutgers, get there, play your game. You might be on a 3-game road trip. You gotta drive to Rutgers. I don't fucking know. Who else is gonna be in the Big Ten by then? You might have to go to Michigan or, you know, back to Iowa. And all that is like, bro, The only school that realistically has to deal with that was Hawaii. Minnesota. And that's because they're on the island.
Right. Imagine you're the women's basketball team at UCLA. And you've just played, and you like you said, you play two games in a week. So you've just played a double or triple overtime game against, I don't know, USC, your heated rival. And then, you know what? You're going to turn around and go fly to Minnesota in the dead of winter with flight delays and, you know, the time difference. And you got to come back and still make it to all your classes on time. And yeah.
And see, and you still talking about a big dog. That's still women's basketball. Obviously, it don't have the same resources as men's or men's basketball or football, but they still have more. They have more resources than tennis, softball, right, than the rowing team.
Right. It's just all so. And that's the part that I is really like setting me for a loop, because it's like, bro, college football or college athletes literally get no say in any of this. This is all for the conferences and TV deals. And it's like, you and I have sat up here and watched people. There are people who, when the transfer portal kind of really took off and, you know, student athletes are transferring and people are signing NIL deals, and we watch people sit up on TV and question, certain people question like, oh, do these kids love football? This generation just wants everything handed to them and it's so much entitlement. And we're just being told how this is just ruining college football and how hard and terrible it is for these coaches and poor coaches. Won't someone think of the poor coaches who are millionaires? That's all I heard. When the whole damn university wants to hop in the transfer portal, then all of a sudden I don't hear anything.
Not a word.
Nobody's talking about how this is going to ruin college. Well, I mean, people are, but not nearly at the same level. Like, I don't hear Nick Saban talking about how nasty this is. I don't hear, you know, well, Deion said something, but like, there's only like a few coaches who've come up and been like, yo, this shit is a mess. It's a few coaches that have actually spoken up and said something, but it ain't none of the big boys. bro. NIL, like Congress should regulate NIL. Oh, but hey, Congress, no need to step in and regulate all this conference movement. Like a whole Power Five conference died in two weeks.
In 2 weeks. And then I don't want to hear Congress.
But nobody talked about Congress should step in there.
Congress has better things to do. Congress had Roger Clemens and Mark McGuire on stand talking about steroids in front of the Supreme Court. Excuse me, in front of the Supreme Court. You can't tell me they don't get involved in professional sports. And this is literally billions of dollars being involved. Hell, USC and UCLA combined have a $1 billion endowment. Like we ain't gonna talk about the amount of money that flows through those schools. And you know what? This is the first time I can say, because this is a move that affects the entire university and all the sports, this ain't a race thing. This is a class thing.
Right.
So to quote one of my favorites, the great Lupe Fiasco, greed is colorblind. They gonna fuck with yours soon as they done with mine. So they've already been fucking over majority Black athletes for majority of the NCAA with football and basketball. That's not a secret. We know. But these conference realignments, greed is colorblind. They don't give a damn about the white kids on the rowing team. They don't give a damn about the Asian kids on the tennis team. They don't give a damn about the white girls on the beach volleyball team. None of that. Because at the end of the day, the only color they see at these universities is green.
Right. Like, yeah, let's talk more about, you know, Tommy Tuberville's bitch ass out here making bills about, hey, you know, like co-sponsoring bills to help regulate NIL. But hey, the Pac-12 is literally dead. Not a word from Congress, not a word from any of these coaches. The president of the NCAA ain't flying to Congress to talk about the Pac-12. We're talking about NIL because y'all just can't stand to see players get even a small piece of the pie. Because even the NILs really ain't as much as people think it is. Like, yeah, there's a couple people that are in the front of it that are making good money, like the Angel Reese's and the Caleb Williamses of the world. But, bro, just like in the NFL, the bottom of the roster, the 53rd person on the rowing team, he ain't making no money. He or she.
No, no. And we're happy that UIL is a thing. Like, it was a great first step.
It was a great concept.
And here's the thing. People think when you see the Caleb Williams and you see the Angel Reese's, you're like, man, we can't give everybody millions and everyone can't have sponsorship deals and this and that. We're not asking for that.
Look, and that's not how it happens in real life anyway.
I guarantee you, pre-NIL, every college athlete would have been happy to be like, hey, if you gave me $1,500 every 2 weeks, like a regular job, I would be cool. If you gave me $1,000, if you gave me $2,000 a month on top of my already scholarship, I would be happy. I would be cool. I wouldn't be struggling to eat. I'd be able to take Thick Shotty out on a real date and we wouldn't be splitting a McDouble.
Right. Like, there's no reason that Shabazz Napier is playing in the NCAA championship and going to bed hungry the night before. No reason.
I watched a whole documentary on Arian Foster and his coach getting in, of Arian Foster not having food after having a 150-yard, 2-touchdown game.
He's bringing in $1 billion in revenue every year, but the players that bring that revenue in aren't eating. Like, what are we doing? You know? What are we doing? And plus, that's not how the real world works anyway. Everybody's like, oh, well, we can't pay everybody the same amount. You think everybody that works at the corporation, you think everybody that works at Chick-fil-A makes the same amount of money? Or even at the Fortune 500 company that you work at, everybody make the same amount? Everybody all got the same salary? Mm-hmm. Like, why is that all of a sudden an issue in college football? Y'all ain't never cared about it anywhere else.
And that's going back to my thing. If you paid most college guys what a Chick-fil-A worker makes working 40 hours a week, they'd be happy with it. Be like, hey, right. I ain't rich, but I ain't going hungry this week.
Right, I'm a college kid making $10,000.
I can go to Chili's whenever I want.
Right.
And you know what, bills. Damn it. And you know what, Debit? If your goal in life is to be able to afford Chili's and you're going to a multi-million dollar university, damn it, they should be able to pay you enough to go to Chili's.
Mm-hmm.
And that, my friend, is how we're going to end another episode of the one and only D1 Ignite University podcast. Captain Scully, you have any final thoughts for the people?
I'm going to just say, regardless of how ridiculous things are at college football, I'm still excited. And it's like, bruh, the college football and basketball, like you said, are not going to be hurting. Like, that's really not the large issue. But I'm excited for this upcoming summer. Or fall. And yeah, you know, shout out to some of your listeners, one in particular, she knows who she is. Anyway.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I am excited about this upcoming season. I spent the last week in SEC country, and I also want to say, overrated ass conference, it's just Bama. So, like I love to say at the end of every episode, keep learning, keep living. Keep loving. It took Georgia 10 years to get over the hump. I'm not going to forget that because of recency bias. And we out.